Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
So Sean and I, along with you guys, going to play a game of Do We Believe It? It's not as ominous as that might sound. This is about Livy Dunn. She made a late night appearance, and she is in a star-athlete relationship. She dates Paul Skeens. They both went to LSU. That's where they met. She goes to his games all the time. Great pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. We'll see how long he is a pitcher for the Pirates, but as of now, great pitcher for the Pirates. She goes on a late night talk show and tells a story about meeting him at LSU. Now, she's going to say something that Sean and I are bucking up against. We'll see if you agree. Here is Livy Dunn talking about meeting Paul Skeens.
We met at LSU, and honestly, I'm just so flattered at this article because, I mean, when I met Paul, we were just two normal college kids at LSU.
Yeah.
I was a gymnast. He was a baseball player. I was already pursuing social media and gymnastics, and honestly, Paul wasn't the Paul Skeens yet. There's no predicting that somebody's going to become the best pitcher in the MLB. So
no, yeah.
I mean, there's really no way, and it's just been such a joy to watch him, and we really support each other, and I mean...
Do you get nervous when you see him play?
I usually wear an Aura ring, and it tells me I'm going to, like, explode and die. Every single time I watch
You're
him...
You're going to explode and die, yeah, yeah. You
That's
change,
what it feels like.
You got to change that setting, yeah.
I'm a little super... I'm a little superstitious.
Oh, you are.
So I have to scream before every single pitch at the top of my lungs, let's go, Paul!
Okay.
And everybody around me is kind of like, what is wrong with this girl?
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of you guys are baseball fans, but a pitcher throw is like, you are?
Absolutely.
About his performance last night, it was pretty amazing, yeah. But 100 pitches and I would scream 100 times, so.
So you lose your voice.
Screaming.
Paul Skeens, before he got to LSU, was a first-team All-American, Freshman of the Year. He was so good at the Air Force that they said, hey, you're better off as a messenger for the Air Force playing baseball than being part, than fulfilling your commitment to us. You know what? It's a high bar to clear, but we know how great you are. You're good here. And Paul Skeens has talked about how much he wanted to be part of the Air Force. He mentioned how he was too tall to be a fighter pilot. Sean said, you could have been other things at the Air Force besides a fighter pilot.
There's a lot of other jobs.
A lot of other jobs. But the Air Force is like, come on. You got some cooking. You can go ahead.
Yeah.
I don't believe when they met, either one of them was normal, a normal college kid. First of all, you're athletes, which removes you from that equation. And she mentioned that she was already diving into social media, and certainly she has used that to her benefit. LSU went and got a guy from the Air Force to pitch for him. I don't know if you could have predicted he was going to be the best pitcher in baseball.
That she's right on.
But I could have seen it coming.
He was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
I could tell he was going to be a pro.
I'm pushing up against it. First of all, when you met, neither one of you was a normal college kid. No chance. No chance. No chance. Stop it. Like, people in... For reasons that are beyond, you know, wholesome, people knew who she was. But the fact that the world knew who a gymnast was at LSU, come on.
That by itself.
What are we talking about?
You're not normal.
You're not normal.
You're not a normal gymnast.
You're not. Forget about a normal college kid. You're not a normal gymnast. You may act like a normal college kid. You might go to parties. But the rest of the world knew who you both were. and you get it from a elite baseball player, that happens. But even an elite baseball player breaking through.
Yeah, how many college baseball players?
You have to be like ridiculous for people to tune in to watch an LSU regular season game who aren't LSU people.
Yeah.
That's because he's Paul Skeens. He was always, when he got to LSU, he was pretty much already Paul Skeens, and it took him to another level. I'm glad the happy couple are together. Yeah. You heard her excitement watching the pitch. Never
Jimmy Fallon might have bought it. Not us.
Not me. And I don't even think Fallon bought it. You heard that laugh. It was skeptical.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
I was getting into the social media thing. Yeah, like a million followers.
Yeah.
Normal kid.
Yeah. But
also yelling every pitch, yelling, "Let's go, Paul." Like, that's more possible, but it's crazy.
Does she go to vocal rest between starts?
Yeah, every 5 days.
She's like a singer?
Yeah. The Pirates are like, "Paul, we might need you to go every third day." And he's like, "Can't." Libby Dunn's voice is going to
And she must scream, "Let's go, Paul," every time I throw a pitch. At some point, look, it's Paul Skeens, so people show up to Pirates games for him.
Yeah.
But there have to be some games that aren't as well attended. He would hear her screaming, right?
Yeah.
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 If I'm Paul Skeens, I'm like, all right, enough. Right? You're like, no more. Well, he may be deeply in love, so he may not ever think that way. I'm being very cynical about all this, honestly. But if I'm Paul Skeens and let's say my significant other is up there screaming after every pitch, I'm like, you know what? I'm good here. I get it. You support me. Like,
first pitch of the game, first pitch of every
inning. A big strikeout?
Yeah.
John has at points criticized the Astros crowd for not being up to the moment when cheering big moments compared to maybe some East Coast crowds. I would be fine if I'm about to close out an inning. Big moment in the game. She goes, "Let's go, Paul." But if it's like pitch one against the Brewers and Miz isn't on the other side, I'm good.
It's echoing through half-empty PNC Park.
Yeah. You know what? At some point, it's like, oof, Paul, come on.
Yeah, and listen, his ERA is doubled this year.
Well, perhaps he's been distracted it was by all the yelling.
Under two, now it's at a 3.96. Yuck.
Maybe the Pirates should get rid of him.
Yeah, what a bum.
Trade him at his highest value right now.
I knew he was struggling.
You can catch Livy Dunn in the newest Baywatch. She is part of that reboot.
Is that why she was on?
I would imagine. Yeah. There's the rollout for the new Baywatch series. Right. It's fast approaching.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got.
I probably won't check it out.
No, it's got a lot of people in it besides some of the former Baywatch cast. A lot of people who made their fame doing the thing, not being a gymnast, but doing the social media thing, like people you wouldn't expect to lead a reboot for Baywatch, a pretty remembered show. It's just a lot of people who, you know, they're going to look good in a swimsuit, but also likely aren't known for their acting chops, which is not really what Baywatch is about.
I was going to say,
But Baywatch the movie, for example, that came out.
Oh, yeah, great movie.
It had Daddario in it, Alexandra Daddario, which, you know, she's going to look good in a swimsuit, but he is an actual actor. You start to look at who is in this Baywatch, well, first has Livy Dunn in it, so that's your first clue. Never acted before. And who else is in it? You know, as I mentioned, some of the old Baywatch cast, some people who are acclaimed actors. But there is a vibe of, hey, you're good and you have a following on social media. Come join the cast. Yeah. I don't expect high theater on the show, but that's not what it's for.
Yeah. Like, good. Honestly, good. If it's not high. If they tried to make True Detective, but Baywatch.
Like Lanterns that premiering on
like
Sunday?
Every comic book show that wants to be taken seriously has to be like, no, this is like a very serious thing. Except they have rings that can manipulate matter and create things. It's like, okay.
Hey, they're space detectives or space cops, the Lanterns.
No, I get it. It's just like True Detective.
Except the Woody Harrelson character, has a ring that allows him to fly.
Yeah, just like True Detective.
Just like it. The trailers for Lanterns, which is replacing the House of the Dragon as far as
Sunday nights.
So on Sunday nights in that prestige spot. That. They went from one to the other. They look good. I'm looking forward to it. Aaron Pierre is in it. He plays, what's his character's name? I forgot what his name. The other Lantern. I forgot his name. I'm not up on Lantern's lore.
Stewart?
Yeah, I think.
John Stewart? No, not John Stewart.
Not John Stewart. But I'll find it.
No, it's John Stewart.
Yeah. I always
the other John Stewart took it.
I don't want to call him that because I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that the name of the? Yeah, it is John Stewart. Hal Jordan, Kyle Chandler, Coach Taylor is playing Hal Jordan, and Aaron Pierre is playing John Stewart.
He's just Coach Taylor.
Nathan Fillion's back, reprising his role of Guy Gardner as part of James Gunn's DCU. So you'll also have.
Sweet.
Superpowers in it, but a detective show as well. And the young cop, in this case, Lantern, wants to take over from the older one, and the older one is going to die hard. It's not just going to give away his status, so I believe that's playing a part in the story as well.
They should be like, it's like Lethal Weapon, but with Lanterns.
Oh.
That's more of a, like, all right. I can believe you can deliver that. I can't really believe you deliver True Detective.
Riggs and Murtaugh, too old for this. We'll go to break here because Sean's got to answer the call. Caller 5 wins the pair of tickets to the listener appreciation party. So we'll do it again tomorrow if you don't get in on this. We love to try to give you guys an opportunity to win. And while Sean's doing it, so he's a little busy, I will get to this before we go to break. We had a tweet from Art, not the Art, who certainly is less than, let's just say Art's a bit sarcastic. It is a more, it's a nicer version of Art because it's a different one. This Art tweeted me about the House of the Dragon. We didn't talk about it yesterday. Sean and I had a long conversation off the air about it, but we generally like to stay away from that because it might spoil it for people, particularly when it's the day after. But as far as my opinion on that show, since we delved into movies and television, I enjoyed the season finale. I enjoyed the show overall. I know some people pushed back on it. Some people said it was boring. But for me, I think it was a step up from season 2. Although I wasn't down on season 2 either. We got one more season to go there. I think they've done a good job of showing the decline of a ruler who has altruistic ideas, but power and striving for power changes you, which has been a theme of that show since the inception of it, particularly once the old king passed away. So I think they've done a good job setting up Rhaenyra, who is the current queen of Westeros, as opposed to what they did with Daenerys Targaryen in House of the Dragon, where it felt like, for some people, it came out of the blue, her ending. Although, if you look at some of the things she did before she came over, she was burning people alive all willy-nilly in Marine. So I think the setup to end the season was well done. And not being someone who read the books, I don't have the bias of saying it should have gone this way or should have gone that way. So I enjoyed that show quite a bit, and we got one more season, but we got to wait 2 years. You do have A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms in between, and as we mentioned, HBO goes from a dragon show to a lantern show. So if you like magic, we go from dragons to a ring. And we'll see how Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart get along in Lanterns, which will be on HBO Max coming up here on Sunday. We have our winner?
Yes, we do. Adrian.
Adrian. What sounder did Adrian choose?
It's a first. Or a first for this one?
We expected the thuggery.
I will have to say, I played that earlier today as a tribute to the show and how we're giving away the tickets and said that's one of your favorites. So I don't know
if that's
Adrian's real favorite or is he a ticket vulture and simply heard it earlier. It doesn't matter. He's still going.
Yeah, too late.
Too late.
Wait. Just sent the email, so too
late. I wasn't going to stand in the way of him getting the tickets.
And there was another miss, and this one's understandable. But
what did they say?
Anything is possible.
No,
it is not anything is possible.
It's we did it.
We did it.
Possibly, I'll say echoing.
Certainly.
The sentiment?
Certainly.
From Kevin Garnett?
Because Tatum was certainly echoing it when he was trying for his own moment. But no, it is we did it. That's why I find it so humorous, because it is a poor
echoing.
A poor echoing of the original, which
not a blatant I'm looking for my own moment. No, never.
No, an echoing.
That's not what Jason Tatum
If
was
you're
doing.
Being kind to Jason Tatum, I don't know why you would. He has that weird Kobe thing he does. You would say he was simply caught up in the moment and remembered another Celtic great winning a title.
Parallel thinking.
And had parallel thinking. I say it was very... I as a cynic, as I said, look at it as him trying to create viral moments around his title. He posed with the trophy in the locker room, just like Kobe did. He did the Kevin Durant thing. He did several
parallel
things.
Parallel
thinking. Okay. It was an ether. In a simple homeostasis happened, and he wound up doing
accidentally.
It.
Accidentally. Oh, oops, I copied
four different championship-winning players when they won their titles. Sure, accidentally.
Everyone does it, though.
Sure. I mean, I remember Jalen Brunson going six, like Michael Jordan did, even though he only won one.
Yeah, and Mike Brown going, don't ever underestimate like the heart of a champion.
Yeah. All do it. And then, as they finally made their way after the parade, I believe Josh Hart went back to back like Magic Johnson did back in the day. Although, once again, they only won the one. But that's how deep into it they were. Everyone does it.
It just happens.
Everyone just does it. Yeah, I'm sure. All right. We got our winner. We'll do it again tomorrow. We're done with that segment. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Sorry, I was just explaining the plot of a dumb movie to Sean. It is, while apparently the Anne Hathaway Oak Street movie is getting good reviews, which we were questioning.
Not questioning.
We
just
were wondering
surprised
whether we were going to be a show that actually watched that movie, certainly going to the theaters. The end of Oak Street is getting good reviews from the people who have seen it early. We'll see how it turns out. The Wagner Moura movie, you would know him as Netflix's Andres Escobar. Not Andres.
Pablo.
Andres is the unfortunate Colombian player who died after the 94 World Cup. But he played Pablo Escobar in Narcos. He's in a new movie. That's dumb. But it's on Netflix, so you don't have to go to the theater. It's called The Last House. I was explaining that dumb plot to Sean.
Because you spoiled it for me and I was fine with it.
Yeah. I asked.
I won't spoil it, but honestly, the twist, while very dumb, does intrigue me.
Okay.
Does intrigue me. I want to see it. You know, I just want to see it.
I mean, seeing what you see, you may laugh.
Yeah.
Or you may like, you know what, not so bad. Yeah. It is number one on Netflix. So the people are watching. I don't know if they're enjoying
Netflix
it, but the people are watching.
The books. It's always a Netflix original is number one. They never are just like, nope, it's still Suits. It's still
despite the
2010 USA show.
Despite the lead up to Spider-Man, Homecoming didn't reach number one. It did make the top 10, but it never reached number one because why this, you know what? Let me bite my tongue. The Last House is number one. That's why.
You know what? We do have breaking news.
Oh.
And it is fitting that it's the Lance Vikings horn.
Did they name a starter?
Have named their starting quarterback. It is Kyler Murray.
To no one's surprise.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray wins that job in runaway fashion. Everyone watching J.J. McCarthy was like, oof, this guy is bad. And Kyler Murray just showing a level of competence. That's the problem for J.J. McCarthy. Last year.
He was incompetent. That was a problem.
Well, sure. But last year in camp, when he was the starter, there wasn't really another quarterback who you would could reasonably believe would give them any upside. And so the Vikings weren't going to give anyone else a chance to win that job. That was McCarthy's job after they let Sam Darnold go. But when you install competence next to what McCarthy is as a pro quarterback, the comp isn't going to serve him well. No. Like we make the jokes about Kyler. The video game clause in his contract. Mm-hmm. He's short. The Cardinals didn't win very much. All the things.
When he throws it, yeah.
When he throws the football. All those jokes. But competence next to J.J. McCarthy, which at minimum Kyler Murray can bring,
yeah,
it's too much for J.J. McCarthy to overcome. And they made a decision that was allegedly going to be something they allowed to play out before the first preseason game. Kyler Murray, the starting quarterback for the Vikings.
Yeah. It was on the border of like, do I play the horn for that?
It's something to discuss a little bit.
Yeah. And
it is a quarter. Like if you told me about the Falcons quarterback competition.
No, still waiting. Still waiting. I'm like, eh. With bated breath.
Eh.
I mean, the nation.
All those similar circumstances, although people felt better about Kyler than they have about Tua, even though if you just look at the numbers, when they're at their best, Tua has a better numbers. But he also had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, so that certainly plays a part. All right, let's get to these calls. Jerry called in before our segment with Michael Carroll began on Friday, saying, I don't know if he said the Astros needed to sweep the Padres, but he certainly said they needed to win that series. That did not happen. Maybe he feels better about them bouncing back against the Giants. What's up, Jerry?
What's up, Dale? Hey, if we can get Wisniewski and O'Kurt and Hader and Abreu every now and then to pitch every game, we'd be 162-0, I'll tell you that. I mean, the boards looked great yesterday. I am a little upset that, I do have Peacock and I do have the Bay City Network, which I was fine, but if I already have Peacock and I want to watch it on the Peacock broadcast, why can't I watch it on then? It doesn't make sense. The Rockets, it doesn't get like that on Peacock, so I don't know. I don't know what's the terminology for that, the fine print, but if it's on Peacock, this should be able to be played on Peacock. Anyways, also the House of Dragon, how dare they make me like Aegon in less than two episodes. So anyways, thank you guys.
I'm alive. That is maybe one of the quotes of the season with Aegon. And
it was the first thing you said to me.
Yeah, when you walked in on yeah, Sean generally walks in because Sean listens enough to know when the previous show's gonna end and when he needs to get here. I would say a pragmatic king as far as spending his time here.
Most of the time, I'm just in my car listening.
Just waiting, and then,
listening for when they go to News of the Weird.
Yeah, okay, it's time.
9:58.
Time to make my way up. I don't need to sit into that control room that long. So he gets here, and that's when he opened the door, when he walked in, that's what I said, because that's what I know he would remember. I knew he would remember that line.
That's the best moment of
what
the
a read
episode.
By Tom Glenn Carney, the actor who
it's
plays
like
Aegon.
They did the group photo thing of like, all right, now a silly one, Tom Glenn Carney. Let's see a silly one.
And they're like, well, that one we love. Yeah. We'll go with that one. Team Black, at least people believe, was positioned as the team you should root for, the side of the Targaryen family you should root for. But, and Aegon certainly with his past, the sexual assaults, the just being a general a-hole, the child fighting ring he set up in King's Landing.
Regrettable.
Yeah, he's got, we don't see them because they don't really treat them in a way that we're supposed to care, but he's got illegitimate children running around the slums of King's Landing. We haven't seen them really since they were first mentioned. But yeah, a man on an arc. And the actor who plays him is compelling. And it's hard to like anyone in the shows. They've all got stink on them. But, and his stink is years in the past, literally 6 years ago where most of his stink came from when when the show first started.
IRL.
IRL, yeah, as far as the actual show. It might be mere months, but we just this how many episodes ago where Aegon was in control and being a general a-hole. Now he's a guy trying to make a comeback.
Midway through season two, basically.
Yeah. Now he's trying to make a comeback. And
yeah, we love a comeback in America and Westeros.
Part of it is deciding whether to kill a brother who tried to burn him alive. Not tried. He did burn him alive. He just happened to survive. That's why I'm alive. It's funny. Of all the things you could say to the brother who tried to kill you, and your dragon is behind you, that's what you say to him. Meanwhile, your brother's remorseful and is okay with you killing him. And that's how you greet him.
That was also a funny part of the scene. That was I'm not sure how funny it was supposed to. Obviously, a little funny.
Yeah, that they let it in. They knew that was going to be funny.
But he also is reading him the filth, basically being like, "You tried to murder me," and then he goes and like. Aemon is like very remorseful and stuff. He's like, this sucks.
Yeah,
like,
that's not what I want. Fight me. Which we talked about. If he did fight him, Aemon, injured or not, would cut off his head pretty quickly.
Yeah, I just this isn't good. Yeah, I don't like this.
Give me a little bit before I burn you alive. Instead, he's trying to bring him into the fold to try to get his kingdom back. Let's get to Peña here. And then, actually, you know what? Jerry, you mentioned the Astros. Yes, if some of your best pitchers could always pitch, perhaps you would go. I wouldn't say 162-0. Hader would blow a save or two. Even if he did have a bionic arm, he was going to miss a couple spots.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, maybe your bats go really quiet. But yeah, if Wesneski and O'Kurt and Hader could pitch 90 times a year, he'd be a better baseball team.
And Lambert, get Lambert in there.
Yeah. Oof. If you could go to a 3-man rotation and have three guys out of your bullpen who could pitch every other day, you'd be a pretty good baseball team.
Basically, if they played,
if Augie Garrido
three times a week,
if Augie Garrido was managing the Astros, yes, you'd be pretty good.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be great. Who cares about your arms as long as they're bionic? Let's get to Peña here. He wants to talk about the listener party. What's up, Peña?
Hey, Doug, you said you have my information. I don't believe I ever gave you any information, like email or anything like that.
Did you give it to Joe?
No, you said it yesterday.
I know I said
no,
that,
I
but I said
but
I wasn't sure. DM Joe.
Do I just like message Joe or something?
Yes.
Okay, and so I have another question. It goes back to last week when I couldn't call when I was in the Shadow Realm. Sean was talking about what would you call your fans? And he said the Dell Army or something like that. And he said you don't want to be a commander. I got a good name for us. Call us the Dellverse because I will throw a green unidentified flying object anywhere for you if you ask. Dell, you're my guy. You're my best friend, Dell.
Wow,
I love you, man.
Have a
great day.
It's a little much, honestly, at this point. Do I want him at the party?
Yeah, now
Stan.
He did, yeah. That is the plot of Stan. The Eminem just didn't reply fast enough.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's true.
He was basically blocked.
Are you calling me in your underwear? Wasn't that?
Dell, I wrote you. We still ain't calling.
Yeah, but instead, I tweeted him back.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, if we remember back to the iconic Stan video,
it didn't go well.
It didn't go well for Stan in the song or in the video. So hopefully with me responding.
Yeah, no.
Peña doesn't turn into a guy who starts to wear, snapbacks all the time and doesn't leave his home unless for food and a movie or two. That's my story. Less so being a world famous rapper.
But you were, credit to you. You're more attentive than Eminem.
Understand unintended consequences of ignoring Peña. Who knows what he does if I don't get back to him.
Just drink a fifth of vodka. Dare me to try?
This is why I got back to the other art, too. He wanted to talk House of Dragon. You never know. Much like, who was it? Is it Billy Madison with Steve Buscemi?
Yeah, thank God I was nice to that guy.
That guy was nice to that guy? Or was it Happy Gilmore?
Billy Madison.
Billy Madison. Yeah, who knows? Peña, are you putting lipstick on and and deciding whether to kill me or not? But because I got back, I'm good. I got back to you, I'm good. If only I had a redheaded family was out to get me, I could sick him on them. We're making a hey, Watch Billy Madison.
If you don't get the references. And watch the music video to stand.
Yeah, watch the music video to stand on YouTube. Watch Billy Madison, and you'll get the last 5 minutes of this show. Honestly, if you're listening to this show, you should already have watched
those
things.
Required reading.
Yeah, honestly. Honestly. You know what? Is that how we test people tomorrow? What movie and music video did we mention on the show yesterday to get listener appreciation party tickets? I'll think about it. Let's get to, has it been a week for Julian, or is this a different one?
It might be a different one.
You know what?
No, it has been a week.
It has? It was last Tuesday or earlier? Eh, whatever. All his players are hurt. There's a substation crippling an entire roster, and it's done it for a half decade or so. What's up, Julian?
I feel like Bane. You know how when you guys are talking about injuries and making fun of me? I was born in the darkness. I was raised by it. It doesn't scare me, guys. Also, are we just going to tell the whole damn episode, guys?
What episode?
I haven't watched it. I always stay true to y'all's request of Thursday, and here you go. Oh, yeah, and then he said this. Oh, and then he did that. What the hell, gentlemen?
We gave you 4 minutes of the episode. Literally the Aegon stuff. That's it.
In my mind, it was 54.
That's still 20 minutes short of the episode. Don't worry. You got like an hour 15 or something like that, or whatever it turned out to be. We gave you 4 minutes. It's not going to ruin the moment. It's still going to be funny as hell.
The guy was alive the entire season.
Yeah, what are you talking about? We didn't reveal anything of it. And look, at some point he was going to see his brother.
Yeah, come on. It's TV.
Stop it. You know how TV works. And that's it.
The line delivery is something I kind of wish everyone could watch. Unadulterated.
I get it. But we are not in any way going to be able to really represent the actor and how he did it, particularly in the moment, because the moment seems very, very serious. Of all the history between the two, they're finally going to meet up again, and then he does what he does. Just you'll be fine, Julian.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
It's the one thing we talked about. Didn't even talk about the knife. Not involving those two, something else. All right, we'll go to break with that. We have been called out for talking about 2.5 minutes of a hour and 15 minute show episode, which we get. Sorry, you're rebanned.
What?
For calling me out. He's fine. All right, if you want to join us and air your grievances, you can. 713-780-3776. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
This is Stan, but what you're hearing are the smooth workings of Dido, who I'd never heard of until the song came out. Maybe a lot of you didn't either. She was Skylar Grey before Skylar Grey with Eminem. I don't know. I'm sure Skylar Grey had a great career coming, but never heard of her until she did the song with Eminem. Dido the same way. She had done stuff in Europe. She's an English singer, but this is her introduction to America. She was in some videos. And then, you know, she kind of faded to, at least for Americans, to the background. But she's still making stuff. But Pena, if you're not listening to the song now, listen to it and go, hey, I don't want to be Stan. I don't want you to be. That was a dark end for Stan and his girlfriend.
It was. Yeah, for him and his family.
Yeah.
It's tough stuff.
Man, that was Stan. Yeah, Eminem. Yeah, it was Stan. That was you, Stan. Yeah, it was me. You should have written back. part of why Geno Smith didn't want to write back.
Yeah.
He remembers the video.
You never know.
You never know what's going to happen. But I will write back just to avoid any potential complications between me and a listener.
You're my best friend.
See, I heard that. I was like, whoa. PTSD from watching that video over and over again. All right. Thanks for the calls, Julian, Pena, Jerry. Anyone else want to get in before we wrap it up? The number is 713-780-3776. So the Texans finished up practice. They did it. They had a practice inside Reliant. The big story coming out of it was a couple of big plays from the offense, which had a bad run the last couple of days, where the Texans defense did what we expect them to do throughout the year, dominate an opposing offense, and this time it was their own teammates. So CJ Stroud threw a wheel route to David Montgomery for 80 yards. And with practice, you have to take some of it with a grain of salt, because what is 80 yards in practice? Did the defense, was it like it would have been 80 yards if it was a full play? Were they actually scrimmaging? These are all things to take into account. But it was a big play touchdown, apparently, for CJ Stroud. He also hit Nico Collins on a big play. So some explosive plays for the Texans offense. Perhaps Will Anderson decided he wasn't going to wreck practice today. And I say that because we're going to play some sound from Sheldon Rankins here. Sheldon Rankins, veteran defensive tackle with the Texans, part of a great unit, talks about Will Anderson and his ability and actually realizing what he's capable of.
I think the turning point for players of his caliber is like when they realize that when they want to take it over, they can take it over. And I think he's getting to that point where, you know, he realizes if he wants to shut practice down, he can shut it down. Like if he don't want them to get a playoff, they won't get a playoff. He don't want them to get a pass off, they won't get a pass off. He want a TFL every play, he can go do it. So I think he's starting to get to that point where he finally realizes that, like, man, like, the game is in the palm of my hands. And he also understands the responsibility that comes with it. I think that's what makes him so special, is that, you know, you get a lot of guys in that position of being that dominant, being that good, and, you know, they kind of look at it like, you know, it was supposed to happen to them. Whereas he looks at it as, you know, he's grateful for every chance he gets to be the player that he is. So, I think he's starting to realize the power that he has, you know, that his hands, feet, helmet, all that, all the above. And he's letting it be known every day.
Do we have a third time's a charm scenario with the top five pass rusher coming to Houston? And, you know, Will Anderson was a good player at Alabama, certainly a lot of potential, but I don't think he was regarded in the same way Mario and Jadeveon Clowney were. Maybe the clue is both were first overall and Will was three. But any question that he's going to be the best of the three, the way things are going right now?
I mean,
in the way he's talked about, because Mario Williams and Jadeveon Clowney were not talked about in this way by teammates or the coaching staff, or really just people in football, after we had seen them play for several years now. I'm trying to...
Because Clowney, there's more hype coming in.
Yeah, he had.
Than any of the... three of these guys.
I would agree, yeah.
But we talked about it when he signed, that it's like he was a very good player. He just never had over 9.5 sacks for the Texans, or I think ever in his career. Where like Will Anderson, like obviously, like whatever, like that's kind of taken for granted. Mario had what?
Mario had a big
49.
Year.
No,
I mean, I think at least one
53 sacks. He had 53 sacks with the Texans for his career. Yeah, no, he had 14 and 12 his second and third year in the league. Yeah. I think Will Anderson. He definitely passes. Like, I would pick him to pass them on the, you know, hierarchy. I don't know if he's, like, actually done it yet. Just, like, if he, whatever, just never played again for the Houston Texans. But, I mean, he already has 11 and a 12.
He's got 30 sacks in 3 years. Yeah. I would have to really think, and it's been a long time. But as far as...
I think maybe like Mario, he just needs like a year. Like it's like a compilation thing.
And we heard Jadeveon Clowney discuss some of his, you know, less than stellar moments here, mostly because he felt he was a low-key, go-with-the-flow guy, and Bill O'Brien wasn't exactly that personality type, and there was some conflict there, and eventually it led to his exit. But I don't believe that either one, even 3 years in, was considered the type of leader on field and off and just franchise-changing type of person that Will Anderson is considered, which plays a part in my assessment. Yeah, he has to stay healthy. He has to keep playing. They've already secured him with a big money extension. So he has done everything they've wanted him to do.
Yeah, and he's the only one of the three guys to be AP first team.
So even his
All Pro.
So even the national assessment of him,
yeah,
is different.
Second DPOI, those other guys weren't.
Yeah. So there is a level that he's reaching that just his reputation around the league is at this point going to far surpass the two previous high profile defensive
ends
here.
JJ Watt.
Yeah. Well, that's the one. If you're going to reach the pinnacle of Texans defenders, it would be JJ.
Yeah.
I think the only way
I'll be honest.
JJ has so many accomplishments. The only way Will Anderson would surpass JJ if he wins a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If he continues all the great player stuff, but the team, and of course he has to get the help. We've talked about it incessantly at this point about the offense and what they have to do. But team success has to be something added to his profile before he approaches JJ Watt.
Five-time first team All-Pro, second in MVP in 2014. That'll be tough for Will Anderson.
Yeah.
I think he could get
high bar.
Maybe not three defensive player of the years in 4 years. That's tough. That's tough to do. I don't know how many other guys have done that, but
I don't know. Where's Aaron Donald at on that?
But as far as guys that, like, before he retires will get defensive player of the year trophy, I feel pretty confident that Will Anderson is gonna get one of these years.
So he finished second last year?
Yeah, he finished second to
Myles Garrett.
Myles Garrett.
The only hope, as long as Myles Garrett exists, the only hope is he and Aaron Donald start taking sacks away from each other.
Yeah.
But not to the point where they both get 15, 16 or something.
Where there's still, 23 sacks among, two guys instead of all on Myles Garrett. Yeah. Where they just like, you know what? I mean, that's the whole Rams thing. It's like, so do you double Myles Garrett and then what?
So,
then what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. So Aaron Donald won 3 out of 4 from 17 to 20.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right. He would be my only other guess other than like Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, and he also won one as a rookie. No, that's defensive rookie. Sorry, I'm looking at it on Pro Football Reference. So the R is not a P.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was. Well, I don't. No one needs to explain Aaron Donald. That's why so many people are excited or scared that he's going to come back and play,
and why he can be out of the league for what, 2 years,
and not worry about it.
And like everyone's people, like, he's going to walk back.
Don't worry
in
about
and
it. He'll
be awesome
still a dominant force.
Yeah.
So we've got some sad news, son. But what I mean by that is one of the greats is having his work stolen. It is almost about that time. Well, it is about that time when it comes to college football preview stuff. We're getting ever closer to the season. Phil Steele, who was a frequent guest, right, at about this time with Charlie, right? Well, I don't know if it was 11:50, but he would join Charlie when Charlie Polillo was here on ESPN 975, known for his college football preview every year. This is a tweet from Phil Steele. There are 4 different magazines on Amazon right now that are titled, and he puts it in quotes, Phil Steele College Football, that have nothing to do with my magazine. They are 58, 70, 45, and 93 pages and have nothing to do with me. They are scams. My magazine is 376 pages with 2 full pages on all 138 teams. So don't be scammed. If you are someone who's big on the Phil Steele College Football Preview magazine, if it's anything less than 376 pages, you got the wrong one. Come on, you suckers. Phil Steele would never give out a preview magazine with 58 pages in it. He just laid it out there. He's giving two pages for team. You think he's going to do a 58-page preview, 70, 45, 93? Not a chance. Those don't even add up to three. The four yeah, phonies don't yeah. even add up to 376.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
No, he's going to write 300 pages on the ACC, basically.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
That's what? 40, almost 40 pages.
Stop
it's just
it.
ACC football.
Don't be duped. In fact, I appreciate Phil Steele putting it out there for the people. But honestly, if you get duped by a 70-page preview magazine, you kind of deserve it. When it's Phil Steele in question, don't you know his work?
Shame on you. Yeah.
Don't you know his work? Stop it. Maybe this is a thing that makes sure Amazon takes that stuff down so he doesn't lose any revenue because people are buying it. But come on, people, don't get fooled. On his magazine, we'll see if anyone's upset. It's all quarterbacks, which to no surprise, but, you know, Jeremiah Smith exists. Not like I, Tony exists, Phil. But on the magazine, his real one, I know this because in the top right corner, 370-plus pages, it says. At that point, just say 376. It takes up less space to say 376 than 370-plus. I don't know why that.
Maybe it's like it wasn't actually finalized.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe they weren't sure how many pages it would be. Phil was still doing some editing. It is Gunnar Stockton, Julian Sain, CJ Carr, Arch, one name guy, Josh Hoover, and Dante Moore. Arch is the only one you need to go one name with.
Yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks.
Nationally, yeah.
A lot of quarterbacks. Josh Hoover. I know he plays for Indiana, but Josh Hoover.
Was he photoshopped into a...
No, he played in the spring, so he's got an Indiana jersey.
Oh, okay. Show.
He played in the spring for them, okay. So they could find one of those. I don't know that he needs to be on the cover, though. Maybe the defending national champion needs representation.
Yeah, but... Yeah,
but not for Josh Hoover.
Yeah. I'm with you. I get it.
They have lost a lot, so maybe you have to choose... It is a quarterback... Only
Becker,
magazine
put
cover
on there,
who has been in some way at some spots mocked to the Texans of all places.
Wow,
another big receiver.
There we go.
Yeah, 6'4", Charlie Becker.
Yeah,
yeah.
If I never
see him catch a back shoulder fade again, it'll be too soon. in my nightmares, converting third and longs from that RPO merchant, Fernando Mendoza. Back shoulders and fades can't do that in the NFL. That's why Kirk Cousins is getting fights with Max Crosby and still start, at least early on for the Raiders. Yes, that is Petty Dell coming out. All right, we're done. We'll give you another opportunity to win a spot in the listener appreciation party tomorrow. But since we're done, what's it going to be, Sean?
We expected the fuggery.
Mm-hmm. I love me some Craig Burley.
Shout out. I love any excuse to play.
I know you do. We'll do it again tomorrow.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.